This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up, Dave Ross of VSiN by the Books will join us. We'll go over some Major League Baseball bets, get his thoughts on McGregor, that fiasco on Saturday night. Football, golf, a lot to do in a rather busy time of the year. And I've mentioned this, I made this point a few times. The World Cup has been a nice little companion this summer for what is usually just a dead time of the year. It's usually baseball, a little golf, a little tennis, but the World Cup is has kept us going here. And we get two games this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then a final on Sunday. So I'll miss it. I can't believe I was not expecting to get into it as much as I have, but it has been fun to have it to bet this summer, and it is coming to an end. Should have a couple good matches here, all chalk, which it's like having all the one seeds in the NCAA tournament. Should make for some good semifinals and a good final. But I'll start with baseball. The Home Run Derby is on Monday. The All-Star Game is on Tuesday. I usually love the All-Star Game, and I'll be into it. I'll watch all of it. I'll bet it. And I like it from a betting perspective. And remember last year, I had Pete Alonso 50-1 to win the MVP, and he was like minus 800 at one point. He had a three-run homer. It's going to be the difference of the game. The game goes to extra. Schwarber wins it on the Home Run Derby. Alonso doesn't get a chance to hit in the Home Run Derby, and it ends up being just a cruel, hellacious beat. That being said, and the odds are not up as I'm recording this, but it's usually the stars, the guys that start, are the shorter shots, and then the guys with the longer numbers come off the bench. But the nature of this game, it's usually close. It's usually low scoring. It's a well-pitched game. Good pitching beats good hitting. Usually the under is a good way to play it. In that type of game, whoever gets a hit late can win the MVP. Let's just say, you know, it's 2-2 in the seventh or eighth inning. Somebody hits a home run to make it 3-2. Elias Diaz, it's the same script. The Rockies catcher, just a nondescript player. I think it was 3 years ago. Hits a home run, wins it 100-1. You get the idea. You can get some long shots, some guys off the bench. There's a lot of randomness to it now. It's a needle in a haystack. You got to pick the right guy, but that will be interesting. And again, when the odds come up, I'll tweet somebody out. But that's one where you can cash a long number on the MVP. And again, it's cool to see all the best players all in their uniforms. It's just a nice snapshot of the league, and it's a fun, fun night, the All-Star Game. The problem, though, Skeens pitches on Sunday. Probably not going to pitch. Mizorowski scratched on Sunday. They were supposed to face off. Not going to pitch. Scooble's not in the game. He didn't make it because he was hurt. Judge hurt. Otani not playing because of a knee injury. That's four or five of the biggest stars. Schlittler's out. So you're talking some big, big stars. A lot of, like, you know, six or seven of the biggest stars in baseball, and maybe the five biggest stars. I mean, who are the biggest stars in baseball right now? It's definitely Otani and Judge, you know, in some order. You probably put Otani first, but Judge is not far behind. Mizorowski, with everything he's done, Skeens, even though he hasn't been as great this year, is still, just from a recognition standpoint, is on that level. He's not going to be in the game. So it does hurt the game a little bit, but I'll be into it. And that will be on Tuesday night in Philly. And then Monday night in Philly, we get the Derby. Schwarber, the plus 330. Short shot, the hometown kid. Junior Caminero, plus 425. Murakami from the White Sox, plus 500. Caglione, plus 650. Jordan Walker, plus 750. Harper, plus 850. So is Ben Rice. And then Wilson Contreras, plus 1,200. You guys already know I'm going to take Ben Rice at plus 850. That's my guy. You know, he's a launch angle guy. He hits the ball hard. I think the plus 850 is a nice little number. And there are so many ways to play this, too. And this is another situation where I had a bad beat last year. I think I had Caminero or Rooker to meet in the finals at like 50, 60 to 1. And then the exact results, 100 to 1. And Rooker lost by like a literal inch to Cal Raleigh on some measurement that we never really got to see. And who knows, you know, how if that measurement was legit or not. But you can get some good numbers on the forecast here. And if you want to just pick both finalists, if you want to just pick who's going to beat who in the finals, you can really get a good number. I mean, you look at the finalists here, and there's so many different ways to play it just to make the final. Name the finalists. All of these things. There's a million ways to play. And again, I would, even though you're going to bet it, I would suggest probably going a little bit easy with it. You're still betting on batting practice. But Junior Caminero and Schwarber to be the finalists, 10-1. Caglione and Schwarber to be the finalists, 10-1. Those are the short shots. Schwarber and Murakami, 11-1 to be the finalists. The one I like, Murakami and Ben Rice, 25-1 to be the finals. So all you got to do is get both of them there and you get a nice little 25-1. I'll see here what it pays, the exact forecast of, you know, if you want one guy to beat the other. And of course, there's live betting with this stuff. So if you ever got the final you wanted, you could, you know, you could have a nice little profit for sure. Rice to beat Murakami in the final is 50-1. So again, these are all fun ones. If you have bonus bets, if you have boosts, you want a little action. I wouldn't go crazy with it, but you can bet a little to win a lot. It's going to be on. There's nothing else to watch, you know, on Monday night. So certainly understand people watching it. People want a little sweat, but I like Rice. I like Murakami, but you know what? It's pretty wide open. I'd be surprised if Contreras won. I'd be surprised if Harper won. Just at his age, having a reload, that might be an issue. So I'll go with Rice. I know he doesn't have the experience in this event, but I would expect Rice to, I could see Rice getting hot and going on a run here. I do like that they got rid of the clock. They're back to the outs. I thought the clock was too frenetic. It was too just tough on the viewer. It was almost like you had anxiety watching it, where you see one pitch, it gets hit, and by the time that ball lands, you're on to the next pitch and you don't even enjoy. Like, the whole point of enjoying the home run derby was the one at Fenway, where like McGuire hits it a mile, or Josh Hamilton at Yankee Stadium, where these guys are hitting it a mile and you can watch the balls land and see where they go and kind of ooh and ah at the raw power of these guys. It's not just to get 9 million swings here in a minute and not see where any of the balls land. That, to me, it was too much. It goes too long anyway. It's a three and a half hour event. It's too long and there's too many guys in it. It's too dragged out. So I think it becomes tedious no matter what. And again, unless you have a bet on it. And even when you have a bet on it, it can be a little bit long. But I think it was better to go back to the outs and just kind of settle in and get rid of the frenetic nature of it. I thought that was a little too much. Before we get to Dave, I think the story right now in baseball, first off, the Tigers, mentioned them, you know, fringe now between sellers, not sellers. There were some long numbers on them to win the division, win everything. And they are playing themselves right back in the mix, as are the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox, I think, are very live, obviously, to get in the playoffs. They're going to get Garrett Crochet back. They're going to get Roman Anthony back. If you ever got in a short series with them and you got them in the playoffs, yes, you start a series with Crochet. And I know Crochet wasn't good when he pitched, but you assume that was probably health-related. Crochet, if he's healthy and he's back, that's a good rotation. They've got a lot of good young arms. Bennett's a good arm. Tolley's a good arm. That would be a very dangerous team here, a team that was dead and buried. They were double-digit games under 500, and here they are right in the mix. They're 22-1 to win the American League, and this is coming from a Yankee fan, not exactly a Red Sox fan here. But the Yankees, the Red Sox, to me, are very much in the mix here of making a run and being a threat here when it comes to the playoffs. They played really well, won the first two games in Citi Field in action right now as I'm recording it, and that was the situation Friday night. And we've all been there. You get insider information, or you get these situations like, oh, the Red Sox playing is late, all the money came in on the Mets. Well, you know, it's not like the Red Sox, like I used the line on Friday with Matt Eubin, it's not like the Red Sox were trapped in a Guatemalan prison. They got to the game, they're well fed, they were able to get their prep in, and they went out and they pitched well. And Sonny Gray has pitched incredibly well for them. Chapman at the end of the game, that's just now they might be a bat short. They might be two bats short, and trying to get a bat at the deadline, not the easiest thing, because there's just not that many sellers, as we've been talking about. The Angels will sell if you want any of their players. And I would love to see Mike Trout on a different team. I don't know that that's going to happen. His age, his injury history, and his contract, I just don't know if, you know, any team is going to bite, but it would be fun to see him on a different team. But Angels, Royals, Giants, Rockies, the A's now are a team that's going to be a seller. But other than that, there's just not a lot of sellers. Even a team like Minnesota, where people assume, oh, Jeffers the catcher, you know, a team like the Yankees can trade for him. Well, the Twins are like, why would we trade him? We're two games out of a playoff spot. So I don't know that it's going to be that easy to acquire bats. But if Boston can ever acquire bats, a bat or two, they are, to me, very live. And anyone's live who gets in the playoffs in the American League, because the American League is just so watered down, so wide open here, where, you know, Tigers getting in and making a run wouldn't shock me. Any of these teams getting in and making a run wouldn't shock me. So that's certainly a team here to keep an eye on. The American League odds here, as we're looking, as 22-1, like I mentioned, for the American League winner. The Yankees, the short shot. And here's another reason to you know, look at the Red Sox or look elsewhere. The Yankees right now are the short shot at plus 230. The Yankees have all sorts of issues. You don't know when Judge is going to be back. It's going to be a while. You don't know when Stanton's going to be back. It's going to be a while. Them at plus 230, where they're no lock to win the division, they're an underdog to win the division, is not a justified favorite. The Mariners are plus 425. They've been very shaky. The Rays are plus 500. And, you know, that and that's the main thing. The two short shots at the top are very flawed, which would make me look down the board. If you want to look at the rest of the board, Rangers plus 750, Guardians 11-1, Blue Jays 14-1, Astros are 15-1, White Sox are 18-1, and then you get Boston at 22-1. And as I look at Detroit, boy, I don't mind Detroit at 28-1 either. If you told me you took a shot at Baltimore, a team I liked before the season, at 45-1, like, I'm not saying bet all of these teams, but I wouldn't be surprised if October you look back and say, man, this team that's in the World Series, or that's in the ALCS, this team was 30-40-1 back in, back in June or July. I mean, this really could be that kind of situation where you get one of these real, real long shots in the American League home, because I think fading the Yankees, fading the Mariners, I think it's wide open as I can remember in the American League. And the Red Sox at 22-1, the Tigers at 28-1, and even Baltimore at 45-1. I think taking a flyer on some of these teams or one of these teams is not the worst idea. Again, really, really wide open American League, and that I think creates some value here at the bottom of the board. But coming up, somebody who always provides some value, it is Dave Ross, VEASAN by the books. We'll get his thoughts on this. We'll get his thoughts on McGregor, football, golf. We got plenty to do with Dave, so keep it right here. VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network. Should have bet more podcast. Stick around. All right, we are back. Should have bet more podcast, and he is back. He joins us once again. VEASAN by the books, First Strike podcast, and many other endeavors. Dave Ross. Dave, what's going on, man? Thank you. We are here, All-Star break. It's usually the dead of the summer, but this summer, you know, UFC fights between, I don't know, Wimbledon, the World Cup. It's been a more eventful summer, but appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely, brother. It always, you know, this is supposed to be the traditional dog days of summer, as we're kind of alluding to here. But, you know, I'm not the biggest World Cup guy, but it really has been kind of captivating. I guess in the end here, it feels like chalk is held here as we get there. But Will, for a while, like, I started to believe that we will win. Like, I got caught up in the USA craze, and then, boy, was that a rude awakening. Like, I really don't know how to kind of summarize USA soccer being a novice with it, but I was disappointed, which I guess is a good thing that we raised the expectations that we could be a little bit agitated by the way it ended.
Yep, I think that's pretty well said. I want to do a bunch of things here, but let's start with what we saw Saturday night, Conor McGregor. Woo! What were you expecting? What was your take? Will we ever see him again? What's your take here on McGregor?
I was on the Max Holloway side, not the way I wanted to get it done, but I was on the over as well, 2.5. And, you know, I'm thinking, all right, Conor hadn't been in there in 5 years. He seemed calmer. Even Max alluded to it at the press conference. And, you know, that maybe this is going to be a Conor that's going to take his time a little bit. I mean, the first time, if you went back and watched their fight from 12 years earlier when they were at 145 pounds, he kind of big brothered Max Holloway in the octagon. He wrestled with him. He grappled. He took his time. He wore him down, and he easily won that fight. And I thought that would be kind of a similar thing. Not that I thought Conor would win. I thought Max would still win this fight late, if not via decision. But to see a guy that's out there, and maybe this should be a lesson to everybody, that father time is undefeated. And if you try to do things that your body can't do once you hit a certain age, you're going to be in pain. Look, I'm a weekend warrior. I go out there and golf, and I went on a trip this week, and my buddy John Chu says to me, he goes, do you ever feel pain after we play golf? And I went, I guess I do. Like, you're just getting old. And Conor to come out there, and he's trying these flying kicks, and he's practicing with it. And then all of a sudden you come down and you land bad on your leg. I know there's conspiracy theory. Was he banged up a little bit before? If you're watching the Zapruder film, before he came out there and he's practicing the same kicks, and was he kind of favoring his leg? He's taking off his flip-flops and kind of trips a little bit as they're actually weighing him in. And that is an official deal, by the way, too, Will, where they come over and check you before you get in the octagon and make sure that you can physically go. You know, I think we can start to read between the lines a little bit. I didn't see it. I didn't feel like he was injured going into it. Some people are like, well, he's already injured. Now he's going to test the leg when he gets in there to try that. I just thought it was a silly move. It was unnecessary. Was he really going to catch Max with one big flying leg kick? Maybe he tried to put something in his mind there early, but that's not what you expect from a five-year layoff from a guy that didn't look good and broke his ankle the last time he was out there against Dustin the Diamond Poirier. So I expected a slower pace. That's why I like the over. I thought Max would keep him at the end of his stick and really kind of paintbrush him for potentially four, maybe five rounds here. Didn't go that way. I don't know that we'll ever see him again. If it is an ACL, I'm not a doctor, but we can play one on the show, Will. It looked like an ACL. And if that's the case, you come back, five-year layoff. Now you want to go through rehab and of an ACL. Probably if it's a money grab, he comes back. But Will, I don't have any visions of grandeur that one, we ever see him again, and two, he looks anything like the guy that was a dynamo and arguably the biggest draw in the history of the UFC.
Yeah, it's tough with all these sports. It was Colin Cowherd who tweeted out, made the point. It's a good one. The boxing, UFC, it's such a star-driven sport that you get every last drop out of these guys, whether it's Tyson, who comes back time and again, Mayweather, who's been retired a zillion times, comes back time and again, and now McGregor, that, you know, these guys, it's A, they don't know when to call quits, and B, they get surrounded, they get tempted by the paycheck, and there's still a name, there's still a draw, and all of that factors into it. Switch gears here, baseball. I think the big story going into the All-Star break here, it's probably Boston, which was dead and buried. They were double-digit games under 500, but in the American League, you're a good week or two from getting back into it. And you know what? They've had a really good week or two. They've been great, really, since sweeping the Yankees, and they are now right back in the mix. I actually think 22-1 to win the American League is not the worst bet. They'll get Crochet back. They'll get Anthony back. What's your take, Ben, here on Boston, and you think they're live here to make a run?
I didn't even think of it in that terms, but I think it's a very smart move that they can't run down Tampa and or the Yanks, but get a wild card. Would you want to play them with Crochet in a short series here? If you can get through that first one, then it's anybody's guess. You're playing with house money. You get all that momentum and all those things. Look, I gave out on VSiN by the book, shameless plug, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern with Jensen Lewis. And I gave out a couple plays that I liked. And I said, I like Milwaukee because they're red hot coming into the month anyway as a short shot. My flyer play to have the most wins in the month of July was the Boston Red Sox. Guess who didn't bet it? That's why we do the shows, Will. We still try to give out the information. But I said, I really like Boston as a long shot. That'd be the team I'd take. And here they are. You know, the reason why I guess I didn't bet it in the end is without Crochet, could they really get this hot without him? But to do this without him and then know that you're going to get him back and the bat's starting to come around a little bit, I wonder what they do at the deadline, because they've been a really weird team here the last couple of years here, right? Like, whether it's Devers, you go back to Mookie Betts way back when, and they traded him when you didn't think they would. Like, I wonder, for a big market, do they actually act like a big market? Would they go out to fortify? Look, baseball Armageddon might be right around the corner. So if you want to push some chips into the center of the table, I feel like this would be the right year to do it. So if you're Boston, well, I think that's a great play at 22-1 to go with the pennant instead of the division race here, because I don't think it's incumbent upon them to win the pennant in order to win the division in order to win the pennant. I think other teams it would factor more into that you don't want to play that extra series. But I think for Boston, 22-1, certainly a play that if you get that in pocket, then they make the postseason, which I'm picking up what you're putting down there. Yeah, I think that's a really smart way to angle with the Red Sox.
What else are you looking here baseball-wise? Do you think Scooble gets traded? Detroit, sort of like Boston, they've played themselves into where they're at least, if not a contender, enough where, man, you're going to really annoy your fans if you end up selling here. What do you think Detroit does here in the next couple weeks?
I can't imagine they trade him at this point. I mean, maybe the conversation would have been different, you know, 3 weeks ago, but they've gotten hot as well. It's a really down division, as we all know. Do we really take the White Sox seriously to win the division? Sure, they could. But in the context of, can you run them down? I think that you would feel like if you're Detroit, that maybe, again, you're a team that goes the other way. You pivot and you go get a stick in the middle of that lineup. I think that's what they clearly need. With Mize and with Scooble as a 1-2, that'd be a dangerous combination right there if you get to the postseason and you're Detroit. I think kind of your same theory here with the Red Sox, but I just kind of alluded to it. I think they're one of the teams that would have to win the division. I think, obviously, short series with those two guys as a 1-2, you'd like your chances, but you know, is it really viable to come out as a wild card in a really bad division? Kind of feels like you have to win that division in order to potentially get in. Because I do think the Sox, Yankees will figure out what they're going to look like, what they do at the deadline, and maybe the Rays. That can be three spots right there that you occupy, one as a division winner and potentially two as wild cards. So to me, Detroit might be a play for the division to play that number. And again, if you want to sprinkle a little bit on the pennant, I'd like that as well. I just don't know why they'd sell at this point. Again, knowing the landscape of baseball, knowing the economics of baseball and how they might really change here, Will, right before our eyes. And again, I hate bringing this up with Jensen Lewis on the show because he and I are going to differ on this one. What's good for the game is not really good for the players. And when we're talking about a salary cap, which is the two dirty words, that's a non-starter. That's why I think some of these fringe teams might actually push some chips in. I think like the Marlins might be one of those teams down there in Miami too. Teams like that, that feel like they're on the cusp that normally trade at the deadline or stand pat, they might actually go make a move. So I think Detroit would be one of those teams as well that goes to make a move rather than standing pat, rather than selling off. I think they'd be a team that might add. I'd look to Detroit to make that run and win that Central Division.
In the final minute or so here, do you still watch every Mets game? How painful has this season been?
I'm out. Rip the Band-Aid off. It's been so painful. There's such an embarrassment that when I just see the scores, I laugh. And I go, I cannot believe I bet the over 86.5 wins. Can't believe it. And I got a good number. They closed 90.5, Will. I got 86.5. I'm a genius. My God. I mean, you could not write a worse script to the season and then figure out what you're going to do with Peralta, figure out what you're going to do with some of these other guys. It is a disaster for Steve Cohen and company.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I couldn't have seen any scenario where it was this bad. And from where they were last June, where they were just smoking teams and they look like an absolute juggernaut. So how they finished the year and how they've carried it into this year, it's almost bizarre that you could have this much talent, this many resources and be this bad. But coming back with Dave Ross, we'll do some other things, get his thoughts, Home Run Derby, All-Star Game, some football, some golf. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All right, we're back. Should Have Bet More podcast. Dave Ross, VSiN by the books. All right, Dave, any interest in the Home Run Derby? Will you be watching it? Will you be betting it? You know, I was saying in the beginning, I at least like that they're getting rid of the clock. To me, the clock was too frenetic. It was too much. All right, you throw a pitch, it gets hit, and before it even lands, you're on to the next pitch, and it's too much to keep up with. The idea of the Derby was McGuire at Fenway, where you throw the pitch, McGuire hits it a mile and we all ooh and ah about how far he hits. It's not just a million swings in a minute. And it was too anxiety driven from a viewer standpoint. But will you be watching it? Will you be betting it? What's your level of interest here in the Derby?
Probably won't bet it. Very limited interest unless Pete Alonso is in it and then wears a Mets jersey. Like to me, that'd be the ultimate, right? Nobody took it more seriously than the polar bear. I've never seen anything like it with cameras in the back for Pete in his Mets days, remember? And it's like it's game seven for him of any, you know, World Series, you name it. I couldn't believe how into some of these guys are. I guess, Will, you'd have to really handicap that way. Who really wants to win it? Who's out there for a show to put on a good time and give a spectacle with some bombs, but not tire themselves out? I don't even know if I buy the theory of, well, it's going to ruin your swing in the second half. Remember, that's something we always talk about. And
sure,
guys that take it too seriously or go to win it, actively win it. I guess you get to the semifinals and, you know, professional pride takes over and you want to get there. Maybe I'll take a nibble at that point. But right off the jump, probably no interest for me. Is Chris Berman still calling it? I mean, it's been a minute since I really get too overly excited about these exhibitions.
How about the All-Star Game? I've always liked the All-Star Game just because, you know what, the players, especially when they wear their own uniforms, it's like a nice, it's just visually, it's very pleasing. It's a nice, like a snapshot of the league where you see the Mets uniforms with the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and all that. You can go back through the years and it's cool to see the players from, it's just a snapshot in that era. That being said, no Judge, no Otani. I don't think that Mizorowski's going to pitch. Skeens is pitching on Sunday. I don't think he's pitching. Schlittler announced he's out. I mean, you go down the line, you're starting to, I mean, no Scoob didn't make the game, which is remarkable. It's some of the bigger stars are out. So will you have any interest in the All-Star game?
Not from a betting perspective, from a fan perspective, it's absolutely my favorite out of the four. I don't even think it's close. I don't even think it's debatable. Like you can't get me to watch the NBA All-Star game. Maybe in the fourth quarter back in the day when you had some of the legends like Kobe that actually took it seriously, and MJ and those guys. Nobody cares. NHL skills competition, that's a joke. No defense, no checking. We get that. We understand why, but it's not watchable. And I don't even know. They're still playing the Pro Bowl, whatever the hell that is. So clearly to me, it's the best of the four. I got to remember the year. I'm going to show my age dramatically here. I think it was 79 All-Star game. And back then you had to have a rep from every team. My Mets were just like now. They were awful. One of the worst teams in baseball. And I was at my grandma's house in Wheeling, West Virginia. And I wanted to watch because Lee Mazzilli, the Italian Stallion, was the Mets representative. And he got in the game super late and he hit a home run off Jim Kern of the Texas Rangers. And I felt like I won game seven of the World Series. I was so excited. Like, that is what I remember about the All-Star game. It's carried me all these years. Dwight Gooden as a rookie going in there with a 3-case. I mean, just looked unbelievable. So like, those are the stories I like about the All-Star game because, again, you're trying. I'm trying to get you out. You're trying to get a hit. And really, it's the only game where we still play the game. So that's the reason why I'll have an interest in it, and I will watch it. I probably won't bet it. Maybe I'll look in-game again and watch these things from that perspective. But beforehand, I really do. I enjoy the Major League Baseball All-Star game probably more than most people do just because of that. I like the representation. I like to see my teams even in a down year. So it'll give you one last thing if you have a non-playoff team to maybe get excited about one of your guys.
I completely agree. It's still a lot of fun, and I wish all the best players were playing, but it's a great snapshot of the league. And from a betting perspective, I love betting the MVP because you can bet a guy, and you mentioned Mazzilli hitting a home run late in the game. The guys that are coming off the bench usually have the longer odds, and the odds aren't up quite yet. But I had Alonso last year, 50-1.
Whoa.
And he was about to win it, but the game went into extras, and then Schwarber hit all the home runs, and they gave it to Schwarber, which he still could have given to Alonso with a 3-run homer in the real game, not in the Derby. And I think the American League guy, Aranda, if he just hit one home run, it would have gone back to Alonso, and he would have won it in the Derby, and he probably would have won the award. He almost definitely would have won it. But I think from a betting perspective, the MVP is interesting just because you get some longer shots, so I'll keep an eye on that once those markets come up.
I'm just glad it still doesn't sting. I'm glad it doesn't sting anymore for you. Oh. Like, it's not like that's an indelible mark in your brain. Kind of like my Blue Jays ticket last year in the World Series. Yeah. Like, those things, they just seem to linger for a little bit longer.
They're scars. They are scars we all carry. It's just part of doing business in
this
game.
Right.
What else baseball-wise interests you? Any teams you think are going to take off? Any teams you think are going to fade? The A's have been horrible.
Oh.
You mentioned the Marlins have been really good. Who do you have your eye on here in terms of the second half?
I grabbed the Marlins at +750 a couple of weeks ago to make the postseason, and that's when they caught fire. So I really love where I'm sitting with that ticket. Got them over 72.5. That's going to help offset the Mets loss for sure of that 86.5 one that I was talking about. It's hard for me to figure out in the National League exactly what's going to happen in that Central, because I feel like they're all pretty good teams there. And we kind of talk about that landscape again and which teams are going to buy, which teams are going to sell. Like the Reds, are they going to sell off pieces? They've got pieces. Like, would they be a team that says, man, this division is just too good? And then who do they sell to? Would you possibly sell in the division? I think the Buccos feel like a team that feels like that if they can get some help. And you got to get Paul Skeens right. I can't believe we're saying this, but he's just not look like the same guy. And if you can't count on Skeens, can you really count on the Buccos? Because I really like this team. I like that they actually have a major league lineup now. They can actually hit. And then Skeens becomes not a concern, but certainly not the ace of aces that you thought he was going to be. So I think those are some questions. If Mizorowski's arm is really tired, and I know that's the excuse for why he's not going to pitch in the All-Star game, and fair, if I'm the Brewers, no way I'm letting that kid pitch. I need you in the second half. He's giving up some home runs here. I wonder if the Brewers, I don't know if they can do like a CC Sabathia move like they did back in the day, but man, with Churio back, it feels like they got a legit lineup here. You know, Dodgers struggling going into the break. Could you make a case for the Brewers to win the pennant at a nice number here? I mean, look, one of the shorter shots to get it done, but Will, if they could figure out a way to add at the deadline, I might like that play here from Milwaukee.
Yeah, and as we're recording, Skeens is actually pitching. 95, 96, that's just not Skeens. I mean,
that's down.
That's, That's down, which is crazy to say. 95, 96 for years. Right. Like, man, that guy threw 96. He threw absolute smoke. But hey, there's a difference between 100, 101, and 95, 96. And that's that's a big difference. And that's a concern. And I wonder just going forward, all these guys, Mizorowski, Skeens, all these guys that throw 100. We've never been through this before in baseball where you had these guys that threw this hard as starters. I wonder if it's sustainable. I really do. I wonder if you can sustain a big league career 6, 8, 10 years with very limited injuries and when you're throwing this hard, because I don't know that it's possible.
Let me ask you this. I wonder, this would be ironic if it happened, but a guy like, say, Freddie Fastball for the Mets, if the Brewers went back and got Freddie Peralta, now that he's on the cheap and they stole all the Mets, you go out and get some of their studs in the minor league system. But I do think there's a possibility of something like that for Milwaukee to help with Mizorowski here at the top of that rotation. Look, the rest of the rotation looks pretty good too. But if you went out and got one more frontline starter on that team, I don't know if you need another bat. It always helps, that's for sure. Man, could they actually be on par with the Dodgers? That could be really interesting in the second half. And yeah, I'm starting to worry a little bit about Skeens because, you know, it takes me back to the old SportsCenter commercial where they go, Jimmy Key's going to pitch today. Jimmy Key, I could hit him. Like, you don't want to say that now about Paul Skeens, but if he's throwing 95, 96, major leaguers are like, I can hit that. I mean, we see that all the time. That's not scaring you. What scares you is the Miz, is the 101s and the 102s. And that's where you expect Skeens to be up in the 98, 99. And when you don't get that, as you know, Will, that 3-4 miles per hour in the fastball, it becomes very hittable for major league hitters.
Last couple minutes here. Who wins the AL East?
Oh, man. You know, you're the guy that put me onto this a couple years ago where you're like, the Yankees are the most frustrating big market team that acts like a small market, right? So the Rays have a frame and they work within the framework of the system. Very rarely do they go outside of it. And I know what you're going to say. George is rolling over in his grave to see the way Hal kind of runs this thing. I still want to believe in the Yanks, but is Aaron Judge coming back? Forget it. Like a time frame at all. Like, what is going on there? Because every time you get an update, it's worse and worse. Well, can they win the division without Aaron Judge, theoretically? I don't know if that's plausible. So, based on the uncertainty of that, based on the uncertainty of their track record, says they don't go make these blockbuster moves at the deadline, by default, give me the Rays. I think they've got enough. Their pitching is clearly solid. Their lineup's very good. I don't know if they make one or two small moves. But yeah, if you can't guarantee me Aaron Judge, I think I'd rather bet on the Rays at this spot.
Wrapping up with Dave Ross. We'll be right back. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Should have bet more podcast. All right, we're back. Should have bet more podcast. Wrapping up here, Dave Ross, VSiN by the books. All right, Dave, I know this is your favorite tournament of the week. It's part of the reason tournament of the year, favorite major, favorite everything. The British Open. Will you be losing sleep this week? I know Matt Heumann still calls the British Open, so I'm going to join him. Who do you like? Will you be losing sleep? How excited are you for this tournament?
I love it. I don't know why. I don't know how it got to be. I think it goes back to Vandeveld, when he put one in the Boone, and it was Peter Allis was the famous announcer, God rest his soul. And he said, oh my goodness, somebody wash him down with the cold brandy. Like the way the BBC does it and some of the broadcasters over there, there's something about it. And we're going to be in England this year. I can't wait to see Tommy Fleetwood disappoint his countrymen and women once again. Like, these are the things that I look forward to. I hope it's nasty weather. I hope it's rain. I want these guys to suffer, and I will suffer sleep accordingly. I will watch all of it. I absolutely love it. Look, Augusta is Augusta. It's pristine. You don't talk well. They say every blade of grass is just, it's done. It looks like it's fake. Like, when you watch Augusta, you go, that's not real. No, it is. It's not painted. That's the way they keep it. That's not this. This is kind of like, hopefully, nasty. Let's get some tall rough out there. I want guys throwing clubs, getting two-stroke penalties. I want it to be brutal. It's not a U.S. Open test because, again, if the wind's down at a British Open, and I love the way you say it because I think it ruffles their feathers overseas, especially if they're watching this podcast. So, like, if it's down, you can get after it, then you're going to be in the mid-double digits to win it. But if there's wind and if there's any sort of elements out there, that's when this thing gets really, really compelling. I got to be honest with you. Like, normally, Americans over there, like you go back, Phil Mickelson back, I think it was 2013, he did the double dip. He won the Scottish and the British. I think he's the only person to ever do that. Like, we don't necessarily, unless your name's Tiger Woods, Scottie Scheffler, of course, won it last year. Scottie coming off his first miscut in forever. Do we still want to bet Scottie at short numbers this week? I don't know that I want to fade him, but I have been laying off him. Hey, you know, what I do, I play against him in the first round matchups. I played him last week at the Scottish Open. I had Tommy Fleetwood plus $1.55 cash that ticket easily. You're going to get solid plus money on whoever he's paired up against. It's going to be a big name because it's going to be the featured group. You're going to get probably plus $1.50. Bet that angle. Sight unseen. I will bet against Scottie Scheffler in the first round. Those tickets are cashing like hotcakes right now. I don't know what it is. I know he joked about the receding hairline. He said it's been receding since his 20s, now that he's 30, so it doesn't really bother him. But I wonder if at some point, Will, you start to go, man, I am not Tiger Woods. None of us are, right? And now I shouldn't be bet, or at least in the betting market, like Tiger Woods used to be. Now, Tiger used to be closer to, you know, even against the field. It was crazy, the numbers you would get there. So now that he's starting to drift to 6-7-1, I think people might start to look to hop on him. I don't know that I will. I think last week was an aberration, but still concerning enough that he's only won once this year. I know there's all the, I think he had 25 top 25s in a row until he missed the cut last week. It's ridiculous how consistent he is. But Will, shortest number on the board, I'll probably be looking to the Northern Ireland laddie here in Rory McIlroy next week, making a charge on a Sunday at the Scottish. That's probably the way I go. I don't know that I want to back Fleetwood with all the pressure of playing in his hometown course. So I'll probably be pivoting a little bit, not a big pivot, but I think Rory will have something to say about this one. The guy just plays majors now, and he seems to play pretty darn well in them.
Other guys that just kind of catch my eye, Goddard up in good recent form. Aubert always, you know, waiting for him, you know, to get one of these. Burns 42-1 had some decent showings in these majors. You tell me, any of those guys catch your ear?
You know, I found one place for Chris Goddard up at 45-1. I jumped on it. I don't think you'll find that elsewhere. If you can get anywhere in that 40-1 range with Goddard up, you win at the John Deere, you go back to the Scottish Open to defend your title. I mean, the guy just, he's playing great golf. It doesn't matter if it's American courses, which, you know, the John Deere is completely antithetical to what you get at the Scottish and then the British. And he just plays these well. He loves playing over there. I think he'll be there on a Sunday with those big names. I don't know that we'll get wild cards, if you will, like names we don't recognize over there that play in the DP World Tour. One name I will look out for, and I had him last time out at the U.S. Open, and if it wasn't for that two-shot penalty, he's cashing a big top five ticket for me. That's Joaquin Niemann. Around 60-1 I saw for a long shot out there. I love Jocko's game. Very suited for all courses. Kind of one of those Goddard-up guys to me. And I don't know what the fate's going to be of LIV Golf. I don't know what his future is going to be, if it's back in the DP World Tour or back in the PGA Tour. But some of those guys get forgotten about. That's one. So the T6, I believe, at the U.S. Open. But again, bogus two-shot penalty. Should have been a T4. That's a guy I'm looking at a nice number at 60-1. I think he'll be around the mix on the leaderboard here.
Remind us, what do you like in the NFL? What have you bet so far? What's in the account?
I love... What was the Dan Reeves Dirty Bird, Jamal Anderson? Oh,
don't. Too soon. Too soon.
Too soon for the Dirty Bird? You remember when Dan Reeves did it with Jamal Anderson?
I'm a Vikings fan. Yes, of course I remember. My friends used to torture me with that. I'm a Vikings fan.
God rest his soul. I love Dan Reeves. One of the worst dances I've ever seen. Terrible move. I don't know why they didn't do the MC Hammer too legit to quit with Dion when he was back at the Falcons. I love the Falcons this year. So their defense, again, we're not the morality police, but it looks like Pierce is going to be back and playing, which is bizarre considering his offseason. But the dude is a flat out stud in the football field. Their defense is going to be as good as it was a year ago, if not better. And then you get Kevin Stefanski, with all due respect to Raheem Morris, major upgrade at the head coaching position, at least on the offensive side of the ball. So I'm going to look at, I don't really care which quarterback it is, whatever lefty it is. If it's Tua Tagovailoa, if it's Michael Penix and his, you know, $6 million knee for the 10th time surgically repaired, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know this, the system's going to look the same for either guy. So are they interchangeable? Probably not. I think I'd prefer Tua at this stage. I think it's going to be a perfect offense for him. Quick rhythm, get the ball out. He's got weapons everywhere. Bijan Robinson, if people didn't take note of what he did last year, absolutely, he's a special player back there. Tua's going to use him a lot out of the backfield too. I think this is a potentially 9-10 win football team. And in that division that the Carolina Panthers are the reigning defendings of it, they don't scare anybody. Does Tampa Bay really? Do they scare you? They're good. We know Baker's good and they're solid, but not dynamic. And I know everybody's on the Saints this year in Kellen Moore. Not me. I like their team, but I mean, is Tyler Shuck really the guy? Like, it was a great rookie season, but I have too many questions about their defense still. Yes, Kellen Moore can coach offense. There's no doubt about it. So can Kevin Stefanski. They've got the better defense. Give me that team in a division. You can flip a coin for four teams and you're going to get what? North of close to 3-1, 350, 4-1. Give me the Falcons there. That's one play I've already made. 7.5 adjusted win total over 8.5 and did bet the divisional price as well.
The Cowboys, how many wins? I know people want to hear your thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys.
16? No. I did play the over. I do like this team this year. I know Brian Schottenheimer says we're going to the Super Bowl. Okay. I mean, that's great. I love to hear it from your coach, but now we got to go back it up here, boys, right? So now we got to go play some defense. The defense is going to be a lot better. Caleb Downs, I still cannot believe that John Harbaugh and the Giants did not select him before the Cowboys had the opportunity to. Stunning to me for a guy like Harbs in his Baltimore days when you go back and you get Hamilton out of Notre Dame and you saw what he's become there. And I thought that could have been their player there. I was so relieved as a Cowboy backer to see the Giants didn't do that. I really like their chances this year to win the division. I really do. You got to win 11 games, I think, in that division in order to get that done. Eagles are still going to be good, but I like Jalen Hurts. I think you know this. I've been a big proponent of his through the years. You know, you go back to his couple Super Bowl appearances, he was absolutely rock solid. You know, when they get the blowout win and the loss to the Chiefs, he was unbelievable. So I know he's got his detractors. We'll find out what they look like without A.J. Brown. I have more concerns about their defense, to be honest with you, than their offense coming into this year. And is Saquon Barkley still the same guy? I think Dallas has got less questions offensively than any other team in the division. And I think defensively, if they're at least top 15, is that too much to ask? If they are middle of the pack, I think this has got division title written all over it.
All right, Dave. Appreciate it, man. VEASAN by the books. First Strike Podcast. What else? What did I miss? I feel like I'm missing one.
At D-Raw Sports, so you and I can banter with all those fine people, because we know that Twitter is such a lovely place to give your opinions.
Absolutely. We will end on that. Appreciate you guys listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Remember, this podcast drops every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern. I will be on with Dave and Jensen Lewis Monday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, VEASAN by the book. So look forward to that. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy the Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game. Be back Wednesday. See you then.